Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 155, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4. My heart is steadfast, O my King. My heart is tuned thy praise to sing. Awake, my soul, and swell the song. Let vibrant harp the notes prolong. And what follows, Psalter 155, the stanzas 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 22, the verses 31 through 54. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Luke 22, the verses 31 through 54. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, as Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath the purse, let him take it, and likewise a scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, gray drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretch forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Jesse Vandenberg, who were blessed with the birth of twin girls, and Mr. and Mrs. Harmon and Rita Leesink, whom they commemorate their 57th wedding anniversary today. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast brought us together by renewal within the walls of thy house, when by renewal thou wast given an other Lord's Day, already the 8th Lord's Day of this newly begun year, when thou wast spared the whole congregation, young and old together, in the week that lies behind us, when for another week, in the midst of the trials of life, where thy mercies have abounded and have been multiplied, may it please thee to grant profound impressions thereof, and also a deep impression, who have received all those blessings and those mercies. Then by renewal thy holy law has been read, and then we are very guilty over against thy law, but also guilty concerning thy goodness and concerning the proclamation of the gospel. Ah, Lord, then it is necessary that each time by renewal that we may be given to pause, to be given to stand still, consider our sins, which are so great and manifold, and to consider all thy mercies, and that there comes that bewilderment and that humility, but also that praise and thanksgiving. Ah, Lord, the earth is so full of thy goodness and of thy mercies, and so empty of thy praise. But, ah, Lord, by thy Spirit, there is a church that may have a little beginning, and with that vehement desire, that it may be greatly increased. Lord, in the past week, many upon the face of the earth, great numbers, on account of sickness, old age, accidents, and other reasons, war, they have been ushered into eternity. And thou wast spared each and every one of us. And then in the past week, then thou wast not only spared life, but then thou wast also given life, where thou wast blessed a father and mother with a double blessing, two little daughters. Ah, Lord, wilt thou grant unto those parents a very low place at thy footstool, a bewilderment, thy wonderful creation, and that the prayers may be multiplied, that they may be two little daughters for thee, for thy honor and for thy glory, that it may please thee to work from generation to generation. Wilt thou strengthen mother, and that in due time, that they may be privileged to take their two precious little gifts to their dwelling. We commend unto thee the grandparents with the increased blessings and with the increased responsibilities. We commend unto thee, all the mothers with the unborn. May it please thee in due time to gladden with thy deeds. Lord, we humbly ask thee that thou may richly dwell amongst us in this morning hour and in this day, to work lovingly and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit, O Lord. May it please thee to convert what is unconverted, that it may please thee to take arrows dipped in thy love and in the blood, and shoot them into the hearts of the king's enemies, that they may be given to surrender on the battlefield of free and sovereign grace, and to be given to us, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, we read in thy word concerning thy suffering and death, that there were those that have followed from afar. There can be those souls whose minds are so perplexed, their hope can be so clouded, that they are living between fear and hope. But may it please thee that thou may bring them nigh through the blood of thy dear Son. Oh, to be given to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Wilt thou grant unto thy people that they may see more clearly, believe more strongly, hope more ardently, love more fervently, walk more delightfully, also more humbly, also more holy, and that the high praises of the Lord may be upon their lips. Ah, thou hast a people upon the earth who learn more and more that it is all given good, all must come from above, and what comes from above, that shall return unto thee. But what comes from self, that shall end in self, even though we can speak very religiously, Lord. Wilt thou so remember us and our dear children as we hasten to that never-ending eternity? There needs to be paid for our sins by us or by another. And, Lord, if we are still for our own account, then each and every sin is still on our account. We commend unto thee all the needs in the midst of the congregation. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, all the elderly ones. Thou wast given in this day a special milestone for a husband and wife, where they may commemorate that thou wast cared, that thou wast spared, provided for 57 years on their journey together in holy matrimony. The infirmities are increasing. Thou wast spared hitherto. May there be an acknowledging hearts, and above all, the beggar's prayer for that one thing needful. We remember all the sick and afflicted. There are grave concerns amongst us, those that are awaiting when thou shalt grant it, for a time when they may travel to another country for surgery, wilt thou uphold them, those that are waiting for further consultation with many fears. May we be given to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wilt thou remember all the crosses and all the burdens. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee that thou may grant thy gracious help. Open thy precious testimony. Grant freedom and liberty by the Spirit to declare the wonderful things of the Lord, the work of a triune God. Therein lies the salvation, and therein lies the only hope for us and our children. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou go from bench to bench and from heart to heart, from dwelling to dwelling, those that are lawfully hindered. Wilt thou also grant a blessing there. And then by renewal, Lord, we are called to confess that we have nothing to plead upon, nothing to be proud of. We are but a company of poor sinners that continually sin everything away. But now the wonder, that there is mercy with thee. May it please thee to manifest that great mercy in a great measure unto us and our children. Also in this morning hour, pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 113, the stanzas 5 through 9. My enemies against me speak, and they my life have scorned. They wish my name to pass away, unhonored and unmourned. And what follows, Psalter 113, the stanzas 5 through 9.
Thank you.
in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Luke 22, the verses 49 through 54a. When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against the thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretch forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Then took they him and led him thus far. Our text words speak of the profound hour of Christ's willing surrender, with four thoughts in the first place, an hour of mistaken zeal. Secondly, an hour of examination. Thirdly, an hour of the power of darkness. And in the fourth place, an hour of being led away. The profound hour of Christ's willing surrender. An hour of mistaken zeal, as we find it in the verses 49 through 51. An hour of examination, the verses 52. An hour of the power of darkness, 53. And an hour of being led away in the first part of verse 54. Thus first, an hour of mistaken zeal. Beloved congregation, we read in our Heidelberg Catechism, in Lord's Day number 15, the question and answer 37, based upon God's holy word, what are we to understand, and that concerns Jesus Christ, that he suffered. And then it is written that all the days of his life he has suffered, but especially at the end of his life, body and soul, under the wrath of God. And so especially in the last week of Christ upon the earth before his death, that suffering is greatly increased. And of course, especially the last day. Then it was on the Friday evening before Christ was crucified that Christ has entered, traveled toward Jerusalem, and that he has come as far as Bethany. And there he has remained on Saturday, the Sabbath day, and then on the first day of the week. Then he has ridden on a colt, and then he has entered into Jerusalem with many hosannas by the people. Then on Monday, by renewal, he has went to Jerusalem. He has cursed the fig tree. And then when he has come to the temple, then he has cleansed the temple that Jesus has done at the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry. On Tuesday, then he is taught in the temple, as is recorded in Matthew 21, 22 and 23. And then on the Tuesday evening, when they have returned, when he has returned with his disciples to Bethany, and then the disciples were given to glance back at Jerusalem and at the temple, and remarked what a beautiful temple it was. Then Christ has taught his disciples in Matthew 24 concerning the signs of the last days of the earth. And also in Matthew 25, foolish and wise virgins, and more instruction. Then on that Tuesday evening, he was anointed by Mary. Judas was rebuked. And in the scriptures, it is not recorded what Jesus has done. Then likely, undoubtedly, then Judas has went to the Sanhedrin and asked how much he could earn by betraying Jesus. Then on Thursday, preparation for the Passover, which was celebrated in the evening, the institution of the Lord's Supper. And then Christ has spoken those profound words, which we read in John 14, 15, and 16. In John 17, his high priestly prayer, and then we read that they have sung a hymn and that they have went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the portion out of God's word, which we have read, that declares what has transpired. And now in our text words, it speaks of a sword which Peter has used. And when we have read this portion of scripture, then it can seem perhaps a little confusing, because in former verses, there Jesus has spoken of a sword. And then we have read it together in verse 35. And he said unto them, when I send you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. O congregation, even in the midst of all the difficulties and trials of life, because they read in Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles, nevertheless, with all the blessings which the Lord so liberally bestows upon us, Then if the Lord asks us, lack ye anything? And then we must say nothing. And then further he has instructed, then said he unto them, but now he that hath the purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. And that can perhaps seem perplexing when we read in our text that Jesus has said that the sword must not be used. Oh, then also in these words, then we see the great love of the Lord Jesus Christ for his disciples, the cursed cross of Calvary that was before him, but then he was still thinking of his disciples. He had done so with the institution of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, but also in verse 36, when he was given to speak of a purse, of a scrip, and that he needed a sword, then he was given to instruct, it is true, the disciples, they misinterpreted. Then Jesus was speaking symbolically and proverbially. Then he was not speaking for the present time, but then he was speaking for the future, because there would come a time in the life of the disciples that it would become so different. Oh, they have been sent out, they have preached, they have healed, they have cast out devils. And then under the shadow of the great prophet, where the land of Canaan has heard of that great prophet that has come, that has done many miracles, then also when the disciples went out, then they were well cared for. But then Jesus is given to tell the disciples that there would come a time that would be after his ascension, that it would become different, that they would experience many difficulties and many trials and much enmity, that they needed preparation for their journeys. And of course, for the disciples, not to fight with the sword literally, but that they needed to come with the sword of the Word of God, as it is called in Ephesians 6 and in Hebrews 4, verse 12. And then we read that Jesus has continued, oh, then he has left the sword, and then he was given to explain to his disciples what would take place. But I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. But all the disciples, then we see that Jesus was given to travel that lonely path. We read in Isaiah 63, I have trodden the winepress alone, that the disciples did not ask about that statement, but they were so busy with their sword, and they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And then Jesus with the disciples, then they have went into the garden of Gethsemane, and notwithstanding the promises that the disciples have made and the exhortation to watch and pray. Then we read that they have fallen asleep because of sorrow. And then after Jesus' precious prayer, we must come to our text. Oh, then a Judas has come. 'Tis specifically mentioned, Judas, one of the 12, called to be an apostle, preached the word, done wonders, and yet Judas, one of the 12, with the Romans, and also with part of the Sanhedrin of the leaders, they have come to arrest them in the middle of the night. And then Jesus, oh, still a word for Judas. He is still called them friend. Still inviting Judas to turn, repent, and believe. So congregation, the Lord comes unto us each time by renewal, also in God's house. Friend, my son, my daughter, give me thy heart. And then the necessity for the work of the Holy Spirit, that that word may find entrance, that it may humble, that it may make small. But of a Judas, we read after the celebration of the Passover that he went out and it was night. And then we read concerning the disciples, have they not promised that they would not be offended, even willing to die? Then we read in our text words, when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And then the disciples have spoken those words, but Peter did not wait for an answer. So it can also be in our life, congregation, that we have desires and plans what to do. We still pray, but our mind has been made up. Different context than here. Oh, it is true for a Peter. What he saw, what was taking place, was evident that they would come with those filthy hands and arrest their master. When they have seen what a Judas has spoken, and to that end, Peter did not wait for an answer, and has Jesus not spoken of a sword that if they had none they should purchase? And to that end, and one of them smote a servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. The names are mentioned in John. And John has written his gospel after Peter and undoubtedly Malchus, the servant of the high priest, were no longer in the land of the living. Thus first an hour of mistaken zeal. They did not understand. They have misinterpreted the words which Jesus has spoken, how necessary for the church that they continually receive light and that he pray with the psalmist from Psalm 25, verse 4, show me thy paths, teach me thy ways. Then it, in the second place, it was for a Peter and for the disciples that they were so ignorant concerning the necessity of they have sat under the prophetical office of Jesus, under his teaching, with such a great delight. They have chosen him for king, although there was still much misunderstanding, much thinking of an earthly kingdom. On the other hand, congregation, when the Spirit works, then the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that becomes very visible in manifestation, also in an outward way upon this earth. Oh, when Peter has tried to defend his master, then he was actually striving against his own salvation. We already read in Matthew 16, verse 22, when in the verse before that Jesus has made it manifest to his disciples that he must suffer and die, that Peter has rebuked him. Then Peter has taken that sword without Christ's command and without his authority. And now an other wonder has taken place, because without Jesus as king, then humanly speaking, it would have been a bloodbath. Then those Roman soldiers, they would have taken their sword and they would have killed Peter, what he had done. But now we see the kingly authority of King Jesus, and then he has done a wonder. Then he has perfectly healed that ear of Malchus. And then we would think, congregation, with that wonder, that also the enemies, they would have been subdued. They would have fallen down and worshiped Jesus as their master, as their king, begging for the forgiveness of sins, because now Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, two special wonders. They have first fallen backwards. They were privileged to arise. And now the second wonder, the healing of the ear of Malchus. But that then we are given to see how hardened that man can be, that even with wonders, common mercies, but even special wonders, that it shall not change the heart, and that we can even harden our heart under the Lord's mercies. Our second thought, an hour of examination. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him. Then there is mentioned the chief priests, the captains, and the elders. The name of Judas is not mentioned, although of course he has also heard it. And then Jesus still had a special word unto them. Oh, then we see the compassion of Jesus, that he still had a particular word to the Jewish leaders, that they may turn unto themselves, consider their ways, to repent, that they may say to the Romans, O Romans, we have asked you to come along, but we have made a mistake, because we have heard such precious preaching, we have seen such wonderful miracles, we have just witnessed it, the hands that would soon be pierced, the last time that Jesus has used his hands to perform a miracle, to heal the ear of Malchus, all Romans. We are so guilty, we must let this man go free. But we do not read it. But then Jesus still had a special message to them. Be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. Chief priests, what have I now done to earn that in the watches of the night you have come with swords and staves to arrest me with a plan to put me to death? Our congregation, can the Lord not ask the same question to us? What have I done that you continually transgress my commandments when you refuse to repent and believe? And then Jesus had a special message. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. Thus then Jesus was given to ask, rulers, I have preached for 3.5 years, many times in the temple, as a faithful watchman. I have preached law and gospel. I have been honest with you, warned you of your sins, of your self-righteousness, even opened up the thoughts in your heart that you had toward me. And in all that time, you did not lay your hands upon me. But now in this night watch, when the people are sleeping, there's a special feast, the Passover, and now you have come with the Romans to arrest me. Thus, rulers, what is now the reason that you have not arrested me formerly? And then there can be many reasons. The fear of the multitude, because the people have recognized that Jesus was a great prophet, that they had not opportunity. But then surely in this night, then it hit home what their thoughts and their hearts were. When Jesus has preached unto them, think of Matthew 21, verse 45, that they perceived that he spake of them. Thus then Jesus in this solemn night, then he was uncovering what had dwelt in their hearts already for a certain time, but now they had the opportunity, and therefore they have come. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretch forth no hands against me. Those leaders, that enmity has risen up in their hearts. The enmity against the doctrine of free and sovereign grace, and the enmity concerning walk when they were rebuked. And now the opportunity has come, and now it has become visible and evident what has lived in their hearts. How is it with us, congregation? Maybe. Hope not so many. But it can be under that doctrine of free and sovereign grace and under the preaching of the old ways when we are warned. Then even in church, that there are times that enmity starts to arise. Maybe there are a few. But on account of certain circumstances, the family, still good when we have respect, can also be, I hope, my young friends, that there are not so many. What those thoughts that you think, because that is very sad and very bad. When we are young and we sit in church, that the thought even arises when I become older and I can drive, then I am finished with the church. If there is such a one in my midst then this morning, then you must go home. After church, already in church. And that you beg of the Lord, Lord, wilt thou take those thoughts out of my heart? And wilt thou work by thy Holy Spirit in my young heart, that I may be given to taste of the good things of the Lord? Shed thy love abroad in my heart. Win me over for thy service, that by thy Spirit I may become a good soldier under the banner of Jesus Christ, and fight and strive for the old truths and the old ways, which I may hear. For those rulers, was living in their hearts, was boiling up. And now there came a time that the restraining hand was removed, and they have come to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us first sing. Psalter 80, the stanzas 8 through 11. I mourn and fail because of sin, friends turn and dread away. Reproached am I and terrified, while foes conspire to slay. And what follows? Psalter 80, 8 through 11. The profound hour of Christ's willing surrender. An hour of mistaken zeal. An hour of examination. And thirdly, an hour of the power of darkness. And then Jesus has added, but this is your hour. An hour under the permission of the Lord in his providence, and also for the church in persecution, that hour of the enemy is directed, and it shall not be forever. What solemn words that Jesus has spoken to the rulers of the Jewish nation. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. What kind of hour is that, congregation? That is an hour when the restraining hand of the common goodness of the Lord is removed. When he gives a person over to himself. When he allows the prince of darkness, Satan, to have much power. It is an hour when the heart becomes harder and harder, that tender conscience is taken away, and that the Lord gives man over to himself. What a solemn word to the leaders of the Jewish nation. An hour of darkness, an hour of ignorance, an hour of enmity, an hour of unbelief. When we think of the rulers of the Jewish nation, to make it simple, boys and girls, they have been in church many times. And now it has come out what lived in their heart. When we read, this is your hour and the hour of darkness, how often we read in a time of persecution. Neighbors that have dwelt together helped each other when there was need. But then when persecution came, and even more so, when a reward was offered, then how often a neighbor has betrayed their neighbor, maybe in a way of revenge, when a neighbor's honestly spoken and warned against their sins and world conformity. And then there came a time when it became their hour, and the Lord removed his restraining hand, that they have went to the authorities and said, I have a neighbor that still opens the Bible, you can multiply it out. The hour of this is your hour and the power of darkness. What a wonder, congregation, that there is also spoken of an other hour. It was the hour before he has said, Jesus, in John 7, verse 30, Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not come. But now Jesus has spoken of an other hour. And that's the hour of the Lord's good pleasure and congregation, that is, even for such a people as we read in our text that have come to lay hands on Jesus, on his law, on his institutions, his commandments, that have departed so far from the Lord, maybe even one that you could hardly reason with anymore, so they were under the power of darkness. But as long as it is not the sin against the Holy Ghost, then there is no sinner too great. Also, these rulers, there's not all exactly written, but we read after the day of Pentecost that there were also many leaders that were converted by the grace of God. And we read in John 5, verse 25, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. But it was not yet the end of their life, O congregation, when we have to die unconverted. Then it shall truly be our hour, and it shall be the hour of darkness under the power of darkness. Then we shall come to that place where there is an eternal darkness, and then it shall be forever and ever too late. And now the necessity that we become the sinner and congregation, then maybe there are many that stand above these rulers, and it is a great privilege and blessing when outwardly that the Lord may restrain us. But now the Lord has a people upon the earth that learn that they are included in that band. Oh, when the Lord works, and it is a blessing when the Lord works early in our life, but then when they are given to reflect upon all the sermons and upon all the goodness and all the wonders, then they do not place themselves above this band. And then by the further enlightening and uncovering, then they learn that they are included, that they have laid their filthy hands through their transgression on the beloved Son of God. Then the Spirit also teaches them not only the sin against the law, but also the sin against the gospel, that they have counted the blood of Christ an unclean thing. Then they do not place themselves above a Peter, but now the wonder that Jesus, as the Lamb of God, that he was led to the slaughter, and that is our forethought, an hour of being led away. And then we simply read, and they then took they him and led him. Then it is clear that those blessed hands, that hand that has healed the ear of Malchus, that those blessed hands that have been laid upon the children, those blessed hands that have multiplied the loaves, those hands that have done nothing but good, those hands that have beckoned and invited poor sinners. Then those blessed hands, they were bound. And then we read, and led him. And then it is clear that the disciples at this moment, that they have fled, notwithstanding what they have promised, notwithstanding their intentions, they have trusted in their own strength. Although soon we read that Peter has followed also with John, but all those disciples have learned that he is trodden the winepress alone. They have learned the value of that little word grace. And now when we read and led him, that he would be led to different courthouses, that he would be led to the cross of Calvary. Therein is declared, because that is a purpose of God exalting to the glorification of God's attributes. And it is a way that the chiefest sinners may be saved. The church learns that they can be so bound that they are bound by their sins, that they are bound by the curse, that they are bound even by Satan. They can be bound with so many riddles. They can be bound in the way of providence. And that is a people that have sinned everything away and that continue to sin everything away. Then they have made themselves 1,000 times worthy that they would be led to the slaughter, that the Lord would cast them forever into hell. But oh, into that being led away, there lies the salvation for the church. Because why was he led, O Christ? He was bound by the sins of his people, by the wrath of his Father over sin. Then the Lord Jesus Christ, he was led away as a captive, that poor and needy captives that by the Spirit of God have learned to cry after the Lord, burdened with their sins, acknowledging that the Lord is just. But they are prisoners, they are captives, oh, with all their efforts, that they cannot deliver themselves, because justice needs to be satisfied, and that is by us or by another. All those poor groaning captives, how they are given to cry unto the Lord. No, those captives, even though they have been kept outwardly, even when the Lord has kept them a tender conscience, then they do not place themselves above that band. They learn more and more by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit what a sinner they are, sinned against his goodness, sinned against his wonders, sinned against the law, and sinned against the gospel. They are given to confess that the Lord is just in all his ways, that they would be given over. And there can be those fears when it becomes so quiet and they learn more and more what lives within their heart. Oh, that power of darkness, how they are given to groan and to cry, given to beg the Lord, that the Lord may keep them, that the Lord may hold on to them, and that the Lord may deliver them. Oh, he was led away, and that is for the purpose. Oh, the psalmist in Psalm 146, verse 7, has declared the Lord looseneth the prisoners. Oh, those prisoners that are held captive, that cannot deliver themselves, then what a rich proclamation the passion and suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, young and old, then it is declared that it is possible for each and every one of us because that sacrifice is self-sufficient, and so God glorifying, he is heir to the salvation for his people, and he applies the same in the state of his exaltation. Oh, he was led away, and it was fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah has declared many centuries before concerning the precious work of the Lord Jesus Christ and the purpose thereof in Isaiah 61 verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to them that are bound. The Lord grant his blessing. Amen. Let's close. Lord, we have heard of many profound things in this morning hour of a Peter that has tried to prevent thy crucifixion, Judas, the Romans, the Jewish leaders who have laid their filthy hands upon thy dear son, then yet a loving word, a word of warning and exhortation that was spoken to the leaders. Oh, Jesus has spoken of a solemn hour, but then we have also heard that he was led away for the welfare and the saving of his church. Lord, may thy restraining hand be continually over us and our children, and above all, thy converting hand, and also thy upholding and thy keeping hand. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Grant meditations in this day. Remember the family circles to keep the Sabbath day holy. Watch over us over the unsafe roads. Return us in this evening hour and forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 293, the three stanzas, rebels who had dared to show proud contempt of God Most High, bound in iron and in woe, shades of death and darkness nigh, humbled low with toil and pain, fell and looked for help in vain. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following: the Lord willing, there will be a combined youth group meeting in Nobleford at 7:30 p.m. Saturday evening. 293, the three stanzas. grace, save the blessing of the Lord, and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.